If you weren't here, I preached on whatever. That was the name of my sermon. And today I'm going to preach about all things. So we're moving along here. We're going from whatever to all things. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to finish out our sermon series through the book of Philippians. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 10. And if you need a Bible, they are in the seat backs. You're welcome to take one home with you if you do not have a Bible. And it will be up on the screen here. So Paul writes to the Philippian church, beginning at verse 10. And he says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hungry, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. And I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches, to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So a few years ago, I was at the opening night of an AAU Junior Olympics track meet, and they showcased several speakers. Some of them were really well-known speakers, Olympic athletes, and they were there to motivate the kids. They were there to get them excited, you know, let them know, hey, get out there, you can do this. And I usually have mixed thoughts when I hear those speeches. On one hand, I really appreciate someone that has succeeded and then challenges others, especially those who have come over great obstacles. I really appreciate those people that say, hey, don't let other people, you know, define your limitations or what can be accomplished. We need people. We need that, okay? We need people right here that strive for excellence and are achieving worthy goals. That's really important there, excellence and worthy goals. And if anything in my life, I've noticed from sports all the way to our spiritual lives, most people fall short of their potential. You know, I mean that's a reality, and when we do that, doesn't mean we stop. That means we get back up and we continue to strive. And so, what do we tell these kids? Here's what happens. I've seen it, and maybe even said some of these things myself. You know, get out there and give 110%. You can't do that, right? You can't do that. We say other things like, you can be anything you want, or you can achieve anything without giving any qualifications or context. Now some of you are looking at me and you're looking kind of upset. I'm not knocking enthusiasm. I'm not knocking positivity. In fact, I'm going to suggest something. In today's world, we need more positivity. We need more enthusiasm. Our youth need They need encouragement that they can be a part of something great. They can do something great in their lifetime. With all that said, I want to make sure we're not like this guy in the cartoon that's going to pop up on the screen there. Yes. So he's using one of the most misquoted or quoted out of context Bible verses in the entire Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I just love what his wife says there. It's a pickle jar, Tom. Twist the lid, not scripture. So, there's a reality, right? When I look at that, here's some facts. I can't be a butterfly, all right? I can't be an Olympic caliber figure skater. We didn't even need Olympic caliber put in that sentence. I can't bench press 500 pounds. And actually, at this stage in my life, I'm pretty happy if I go for a walk and I don't get hurt. So does this mean we don't strive for excellence? Or ask that of others that we have influence with or influence over? Of course not. Think about this whole letter that we've been looking at. The entire letter to the Philippians is a reminder that God is still at work. All right? God, the story is not over. God is still at work. So church, what do? We press on. We press on, church. We have joy in the journey. And the answer, we know the answer for living a life that is worthy, for living a life that is excellent, it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, defeated sin and defeated death and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And so from that standpoint, throughout this letter, the Apostle Paul, he encourages us and he invites us to see our own story. Our own story as a living expression of Jesus' story. We need to go back to Jesus' story. So what does this mean to live out this story right here where we're living today? And I think of some of the hats that I put on. So as a pastor, as a coach, as a teacher, I challenge, and not because I think every individual I talk to or that I'm working with is always going to achieve whatever they want. Do you know sometimes the reality is what we want is too small of a thing? You ever think about that where you're going, okay, this is what I'm going to pursue. This is the direction that I'm going to go, and you find out that it was too small of a thing. And so when we challenge, it's because we believe that God is at work in people's lives. And doing things with excellence and things that are worthy goals, that's important for people that are created in the image and the likeness of God who is excellent. We're pursuing God when we pursue excellence after him. You and I, we work for the King of Kings. We work for the Lord of Lords. So by all means, church, pursue excellence. So what do we do with this? Because you're probably going, okay, well, tell me what to do with this. It doesn't mean that I can, you know, twist off, pickle jar lids. But on the surface, it does seem like I can do whatever, right? I mean, Matthew 19:26 says this. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I think this must be why, like when you turn on the TV and there's a football game and somebody's got the Philippians 4:13 right here and maybe even tattooed or on their apparel. And I mean, who doesn't want to think that my faith in Christ is going to lead me to victory in this particular contest? And hopefully the other team doesn't have that same faith in Christ, because then God's in a real quandary there, right? He's like, oh no, how do I do this? They're wanting all things. So obviously the verse needs some qualification, right? And let me stress this and understand this. When we look at a passage like this and we qualify it, we are not limiting ourselves. We are actually opening ourselves up to bigger and better things. Okay? We are opening ourselves up to what God is doing. And the church needs to be opened up to something bigger, to what God wants to do in our lives. Paul isn't working through this, or God isn't working through Paul in this letter because he knows someday we need to win an athletic contest or turn the pickle jar, all right? And again, if God wants to, you know, show his glory by you ripping off that jar, I suppose he can do that. So in this context here, Paul is thanking the church for their gift. Now, I don't know if you caught the paradoxical tension in the text. Let's think this through. Paul's saying, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And by the way, thanks for meeting my need. All right? I can do all things. Thanks for meeting my need. Pastor Cody Whittington says this. If Philippians 4:13 is the one verse most often taken out of its context, perhaps Philippians 4:14 is the one verse most often overlooked. Philippians 4:14, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. Or as the NSAB puts it, this, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. In his book, Embodied Hope, Kelly Capek says this, seasons of physical distress challenge Christian hope. Anyone ever been there? Seasons of distress? Okay. Seasons of physical distress challenge Christian hope so that the suffering saint leans hard upon other believers for spiritual sustenance. Fellow pilgrims strengthen us by embodying gospel promises. I love that last little piece there. Let me repeat that for the people way in the back. Fellow pilgrims, we're on this journey. There's joy in the journey. Fellow pilgrims strengthen us by embodying gospel promises. We are a gospel people. We are a gospel community, and we're to embody that. And Paul is calling, listen what he calls their embodiment of the gospel. He says, it is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. You ever think about that? Somebody's suffering, somebody's going through a trial, and you come alongside them. You help them in their need. And sometimes, I found this, sometimes one of the greatest things we do is just sit with somebody and not say a word. We're partnering with them. We're joining with them in their time of need. And God sees that as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to him. So in the context of this, the Christian life is to be lived out in community. You want to live a victorious Christian life? You're not going to do it living alone. You can live in a house by yourself. That's not what I'm saying there. But you're not going to live out this Christian life all by yourself. You were created for community, right? God took you out of the kingdom of darkness and he put you into the kingdom of light. He placed you in community. Paul is not a Lone Ranger hero. That would be a complete misunderstanding of what he means in the text. If we think he's just this Lone Ranger hero, God is sustaining Paul and he's using the hands and feet of Jesus. So yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes when Christ strengthens me, it is through the body. It's through the body of Christ. It is through his hands and feet. It's the church. Did you know that? We are the hands and feet of Jesus. There's a whole song about that. We're the body. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:26, he says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. And then he adds this in verse 11, chapter 4, Philippians. He says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. So in this context, Paul's secret, the context is the secret to what Paul is facing. This is not the same thing of saying, hey, whatever you set your mind to, you're going to accomplish it. That's true in some circumstances, but that's not always true, right? You ever given your best effort on something? You gave everything, and man, I just could not be a figure skater. I couldn't do it. I haven't tried, but I'm certain. It would go viral. The reality is there's much in life that's out of our control, and you know why? We're not God. We're not God. We need to rely on God. And neither Jesus nor Paul is encouraging people saying, hey, do whatever you want in the name and the power of Jesus. That's not what he's suggesting here. That's kind of a worldly way of thinking. If we're to abound well, like Paul says, I've learned the secret to abound well, you know what we need to do? We need to not be conformed to the world. We need to change the way we think, not be conformed to the world and its empty dreams, but what? Have our minds transformed by the renewal of our minds, Romans 12:2. So Charles Talbert, he suggests this. A better translation of this verse is, I have strength for everything, poverty and plenty. So that goes back to our whatever, where Paul says, you know, whatever. And here he's saying, I have strength for whatever, whether it's poverty, whether it's plenty, and my strength is in union with the one who infuses me with power. So the Christian life is lived in unity with Jesus and his will. This isn't about me thinking I can be anything I want. It's about me being and doing whatever God calls me to do. It's about God empowering you to fulfill his will for his kingdom in whatever circumstances comes your way. You know what this is? It's about you and I discovering God's will. And then what do we do when we discover God's will? We relentlessly pursue that. And how do we do that? We do that with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. There's something bigger that we're missing at times. And the ultimate qualifier here is God. We need to ask the question, what is God doing in the world? What is God calling you to do? Jesus said this in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? So how do we do all things? Through Christ who strengthens us? It's by abiding. We stay connected to him and his purposes. And then we can do all things that he calls us to do. And sometimes within the church, sometimes within myself, we say things like, I can't, or we can't, when what we really mean is we won't, or this is difficult. Colossians 1:29 says, for this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. So let me give you a couple quick applications, and then we'll go to communion. Are you seeking God's will for your life? I mean that's where we got to start, right? We don't start with I can do all things. We got to start with God. What is your will for my life? We start there. Now, if this applies to you, are you going through something difficult in pursuing God and His goals for your life? Well, you know what? I don't always like it, but sometimes it's right in the difficulties where I find out that I was in the best place that I needed to be. And sometimes it's kind of kicking and screaming, but that's in the best place. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. He's talking to God, and it says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Anybody feeling weak today? Anybody feeling overwhelmed? He says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me for the sake of Christ. And then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So if you're going through a difficult time, Paul also says back in Philippians, whatever situation whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, how about what Zeph prayed about earlier? Do you know somebody that's going through a difficult time? Do you know somebody that's grieving? Well, that's what Paul says in 4:14. He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well. You have done well to share with me in my affliction." Paul also writes in 1 Corinthians 12:26, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together." Three questions, and then I'll invite Pastor Zeph up. Are you living a life in unity with Jesus and His will? We need to start there. Have I come to the place where I've surrendered? I'm saying, "Lord, whatever you have for me, I'm committed to that." Are you seeking His strength? And is your contentment found in Him? And if you're rolling on those, got this last question. Who are you strengthening by embodying the gospel promises? We're to live this out. It's not just for us to consume, but we are to embody that with one another. Let me close in prayer, and I'll have Pastor Zeph come up. Father, so thankful that in our weakness and our brokenness, you could still use us. You're really good at putting broken vessels back together. You're really good at using broken vessels for your kingdom, for your purposes, and for your glory. And so, Father, may we be those people that discover that when we're weak, we're really strong in you. And Lord, may we also embody these promises and come alongside our brothers and sisters within this community here, within the community outside, and throughout the world. And may we come alongside them and partner with them in the midst of their suffering. Lord, have your way. Be glorified in our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.